Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkus Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
It is time for another episode of The Entrepreneurial You podcast, and I am your host, Henneka Watkus Porter. If you are a first-time listener, then certainly welcome, welcome, welcome to you. And if you've been listening for quite some time, or it's your second time, or whatever it was, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. So, last week, I had the pleasure of speaking with one of Jamaica's most famed business leaders. I guess that we can all say needs no introduction, right? It was so refreshing to hear from someone who has come from a famous business family, but was also brave enough to venture out on his own to establish himself in his own right. Gary Matalon left quite a number of gems with us. So if you miss it, I invite you to go check out that episode and you'll be glad you did. This week, it is my pleasure to speak with a fast-rising entrepreneur whose visionary scope is to make Jamaica the global hub of data and AI innovation to drive job creation and economic growth. I'm already excited for what is about to go down, but before I introduce today's guest, I want to shout out my partners who they continue to support The Entrepreneurial You and make it what it is. So definitely, HennekaWatkusPorter.com, the National People's Cooperative Bank of Jamaica Limited, they're committed to the growth and development of their members, Profit Jumpstarter, and the Jamaica Stock Exchange, whose podcast, The Jamaica Stock Exchange and You, is hosted and produced by me. So do give them a listen when you can, right? And here is a word from the Jamaica Stock Exchange. And after that, I will be introducing my guest for today.
We needed to raise capital, but our experience with local financial institutions was that they were cautious and slow to act, and interest rates were far too high. We had real concerns about financing our business through outside equity investors and the possibility of interference. Could we get a fair valuation for our business? We had our own ideas about the business and its value. Should I go the traditional route of bank financing, or should I try the Jamaica Stock Exchange? So we made a call and experienced transformation of our business through conversations. I'm John Mahfood, CEO of Jamaican Teas, and we're listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
Give us a call today at 876-967-3271 to begin your transformation through conversation. We want to see your company listed on the Jamaica Stock Exchange.
All right. And today's opening business tip, courtesy of the National PC Bank of Jamaica, says focus on building your customer's experience. Your customer's experience can make or break your business. Therefore, much effort should be placed on developing and executing a quality experience for every customer or client that engages with your business. Thank you so much to the National PC Bank for this business tip. Now, right on to why we are here, right? And it is to talk with another entrepreneur who is doing great stuff. So, episode 272 of the Entrepreneur You podcast will bring you an amazing guest, as always. And he comes today in the form of Adrian Dunkley, a technologist and decision scientist with over 12 years of experience in data, decision science, and AI across the finance, travel, retail, marketing, risk, research, and customer experience domains. He is also the president of the Jamaica Technology and Digital Alliance, CEO of Starapple AI, and VP of Data and Decision Sciences for Cornerstone Bank / Barita Investments. Welcome, Adrian. All that good stuff. Welcome.
Thanks, Seneca. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It is my pleasure. What do you love most about being Jamaican?
Everything. Culture, food, heritage.
Pick one. Pick one, Adrian. Pick one.
Family. Family.
Family. What about Jamaican family that drives you, you know, that motivates you and inspires you so much?
It's like having 100 different families in one. Different cultures, approaches. Feel the love on a regular basis.
All right. All right. Yeah. Okay. I'll work with that. I'll take that, which is true. All right. So before I get into anything deep, let's talk about what it is that a decision scientist does and who is a decision scientist.
Great, great question. So a decision scientist is an individual, a professional that focuses specifically on how a company and individuals can choose the best options in different scenarios. So the entire focus is, how do you choose the right option? How do you make sure it was the right option? And then how do you maximize the returns from that option?
What tool do you use to come to these decisions?
So you start with data, but a big part of it is, and I'm glad you mentioned the customer experience tip for the day, it's all about people and individuals. So as human beings, we aren't necessarily the most rational people at all times. So it requires a lot of collaboration and communication across people. We use a lot of psychology, computer science, mathematics, statistics, some physics as well, in different areas. But the focus is always on the person, the consumer, the customer.
Mm-hmm. And as I hear you say that, it sounds like, you know, you're saying we just focus more on quantitative than qualitative data. Now, if my assumption is right, the question that I'd love to follow up with is, what importance does qualitative data, you know, how does it impact your decision making?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. So we try to look at it objectively and just have data as data, whether quantitative or qualitative. We have realized, though, in the last couple of years with the expansion of technology and capabilities, everybody's focused on the numbers, the quantitative data, because it's just easier to analyze it these days. But that qualitative piece, the emotional connection, the focus on not necessarily the volume of things, but the impact and the connectivity it has on people, we ensure that that is weighted as heavily as those more quantitative direct data sources when mm-hmm. we're doing our work.
You know, I really ask that against the backdrop of a memory I have from doing research at UA, right? So I remember when one of my lecturers would say, you know, yes, we do the quantitative stuff and we analyze it and it's there, it's straightforward, it really doesn't lie. But how do you not take into account when somebody's response to a question, like, you know, how did you find this meal or something? And when somebody says it good, bad, you know that it passed the level of ranking in terms of being good. You know, it's just excellent, right? Because Jamaicans have a way, in particular, we have a way of being so colorful with our descriptions.
Yes. That's a great point. Mm-hmm. And a big part of why, I guess this is a plug, why Startup was formed, was that we are, in a sense, dependent on other countries' expertise. We're taking their approaches and their methods and then trying to apply it here locally. But they don't always work. That mm-hmm. example that you provided there, if we were to use an American model or something to do it, it may not be able to understand what we mean by that. So we use methodologies specifically developed for Jamaica and the Caribbean when we're doing our works. Because what we're trying to do is create something new and build off of all of the years of creativity and independence that we have in the region.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, very, very good response to that. Because, and no necessary plug because you're here, right? So we're plugging Starple all the way. So it's all good. But yeah, it's very important to know that, you know, culture, our specific culture, is being taken into consideration. Because, like right. I said, we have a way of describing things. You know, we use a double word. We double up things, fool, fool, as opposed to just fool, you know? Things like that. We always double up our words. So we're colorful. So we're moving right along. And I have to tell you, Adrian, that I got an email in my inbox from your company. And I must tell you that the headline I saw, when I saw it, I was like, really, no? Which says, Jamaica First Data Science and AI Firm Launches US Subsidiary. So yeah. My thing, and we're going to go into the launching and all of that, but my thing was, and I got to be honest, as I said, when I saw Jamaica First Data Science, you need to enlighten me, because in my mind, I was thinking of Blue Dots, to be honest with you, as the first data science company. So when I saw that, I like, let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. So I'm familiar with them. I did actually help them out for a while. They're actually a market research firm. We are actually a company formed specifically for data science and artificial intelligence. But mm-hmm. no bad blood, no issues with respect to that. We would still call them a competitor because we have also pushed into the market research space as well.
I would say they are the first data science. And you know, it's not splitting errors, but I really want to understand where you're coming from in terms of your perspective.
Sure. So market research and data science are not the same field, right?
Okay.
They're connected. Mm-hmm. In cases, they can rely on one another, but they can be two independent things.
Oh, okay.
Data science is an interdisciplinary field where you apply data analytics, psychology, computer science, and artificial intelligence to develop solutions that can better entities and individuals' lives. So that's very important in terms of our definition for data science. Mm-hmm. So based on that, we are the first data science company in Jamaica.
What I do know as well too is that Blue Dot, and this is your stage, not Blue Dot stage, but I also know that they use like the psychology and other elements as well. So I know it's good to have the clarification, because I'm sure I'm not the only one with these questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so neuromarketing is actually one of my fields as well.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it over a decade.
Okay.
And the big part of the company was I've worked in corporate entities, MSMEs, startups for years,
mm-hmm.
from the perspective of a business owner and a staff and an employee. And there was always something lacking when you brought these consultants in, right? So this company was formed specifically, Startup was formed specifically to identify and actually plug those gaps. Because it's one thing to have a consultant come in for like a 3 weeks or a 1 month period and then leave, you know? You may not necessarily get something from that, or they may not have a really good understanding of how these things are going to integrate in their organization. Our perspective is we're your partner, we're not a consultant, we're there to give you a solution that you can utilize when we leave. So you're no longer dependent on us after we leave. And we've left you with a new ability, new capability, and new value that can grow your organization. Mm-hmm. So that's something very important for us. And so when it comes to customer experience, that's the primary goal and focus when we go to all our employees. And every single client we've had has been a repeat customer. And I don't mean 2, 3, 4 times, over 5 times. And that's because they keep seeing the value provide. We identify solutions for problems they don't even know they have. And a big part of it is actually showing them the value, quantifying that value that we've provided them on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So even if we have to put in a couple more hours or throwing a free project or something, we're fine with that, as long as you make sure that the company is able to benefit from what we're doing.
As opposed to bringing a consultant, you're there with them. How does that compare cost-wise? At the front end, is it more expensive to work with you? And then what would be the payback period for, you know what I mean, for a business to see, yeah, I've saved money here because I have great ROI kind of a thing?
We start with something called a proof of value. So it's different than a proof of concept.
Mm-hmm.
But a proof of value, you are implementing something very quickly, but it has to work and it has to show that it works very quickly. So we use this as a initial stage and error for the organization to minimize costs and then to get buy-in. That's a part of anything, right? Any product or service is you need buy-in to ensure that not just a solution can work, but that people are willing to invest time, effort into letting it actually work. So what we do is we use this proof of value to minimize initial costs. If you see the value in it, then we provide additional options for you moving forward. So we have retainer agreements. We have the agreements that are, let's say, 1 month to 6 months. And we've become very flexible with respect to our pricing structure. That's very important. So we're not trying to sell you something just because we offer it. We generate solutions based on the problems that you have. So that actually allows us to be very cost effective. So our operational efficiency is extremely high because of this. So I can give you an example. Local entity wanted to expand in a certain area, and they're saying, oh, you know, let's just do traditional market research. Let's do some surveys on focus groups in that area, which is fine. Those things are very easy. That's one of the primary things that Blue Dot actually does for revenue generation, and it does work. But not in every situation you should really do traditional market research. And a few reasons for that is it takes a bit longer. With any form of survey, the fact that you're actually asking these people these questions, you're priming them for a certain response. And then the costing, it's pretty expensive to do it properly because you have to make sure you do a survey properly so that the results actually make sense. So we came up with an alternative approach, and we're actually able to give them a recommendation and a growth strategy in 3 days from start to finish. And they reduced their costs significantly versus if they did a survey. And they're able to generate significant revenues from that. They didn't make the wrong decision. We're very proud of those types of things.
Yeah. Okay, as you should be. Now, why the name Staropool, and how old is the business?
The business is 2 years old, actually.
Easier question first, right?
yeah. So we are literally a startup. So 2 years in, launch right as the pandemic reared its ugly head. So that period was very uncertain for us. With respect to why Staropool, is my grandmother. She's the reason. So when I was very young, she came home from market and she had a quote-unquote apple for me. I love my Otaheite apples. So she gave me this ugly black purple looking thing and she told me to cut it open. She says, oh, it's the best apple ever. I'm like, I don't know about that. Look ugly, you know, like, and it's tough, lad. And she gave me a knife. That was a big thing. Wasn't allowed to actually like use knives. So she gave me a knife to cut it open. I said, all right, I'll jump at it. So I cut the thing open, very disgruntled and annoyed. When I opened it up, I saw the patterns in there of stars, right? Mm-hmm. It always stuck with me that in any situation, no matter what's going on or how individuals are acting, there's still something underlying. There's still some underlying value.
Oh, I feel like this is an aha moment.
Yeah, it always stuck with me. So when it comes to what we do, we don't focus on what you can see and then believe that's it. When it comes to people, when it comes to companies or problems, you're trying to find the solutions that other people can't even see because if they don't want to see it and it doesn't help them. Or maybe it's a situation where they're doing something very traditional or something everybody else does. So we don't go and say, oh, these things are being done in the US and Canada. We say, how can we do this better than these people? Our competitors are Google, Amazon, Netflix. Those are the persons that we're looking at and saying, no, we need to be able to do it better than they can do it. And a big part of that is diversity and inclusion across cultures and demographics. That always stuck with me for years. So when it came to name this company, I said, it has to be Staropool. There's no other way I can name it anything else. And nobody liked the name. So I have family from country and everybody, you know, same thing, Staropool, rot on the tree, all of these negative connotations to it. And I'm saying, why would you want a fruit that does drop to the ground, right? Wouldn't you want a fruit where you have to like climb up and rise to get it? I view Starapple as forcing people to want a higher standard for themselves and consultants and partners that they're involved in. So you have to climb to the tree to get it. It's more difficult because it's more valuable. I want to instill that in Jamaicans. We don't want Jamaicans to think, oh, let's settle for this or that just because we have to. We should demand more and be given more. We deserve it.
Wow, that's a great, great brand story. And you're an excellent marketer because I just saw you meticulously interweave, you know, the stories and connect it to what you're doing as what the company is actually doing. So it was great to hear that response.
Sure.
Let's talk about your recent investment from the RGR Gleaner Group. How did that come about? Why you think that the RGR Gleaner Group latched on to Starapple at this stage?
Great, thanks. You know, I don't think anybody has asked me that. Yeah, you're the first person. So they were one of our first clients. And we just had some discussions and we saw there are some things that they wanted to do. And they had these plans, but, you know, people busy and stuff like that. So we said, all right, we'll come on and we'll do it for you for free. Because we're really trying to help. And it reached a point where, you know, when you talk to somebody a couple of times, you kind of become invested mm-hmm. in what's going on with them. To the point where you are probably pushing them to do things. So I kind of think of it like maybe you go out and you're with a friend, sister and boyfriend or whatever, and maybe mm-hmm. there's somebody across the room they want to talk to. And you ended up having to like push them to try and talk mm-hmm. to that person. Maybe go over there.
Come
and
go, go try. Just go. Be brave. Yeah, man. You go on, man. We got you.
Yeah, you're the best. You're the best. Nothing gonna happen.
Yeah. And then maybe, you can do this.
Yeah. If they get flopped, that's the worst part. But if not, if they get through, then you would have given them a memory and an opportunity they wouldn't have had on other hands. So that's the approach that we've been taking with them. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get into much detail on the specifics of what it, but there are a few projects that would have seemed incapable for the region, I'll say that, or very difficult to actually implement.
Mm-hmm.
We just went in, we figured out their approach, we figured out their strategy, and we're able to present them with a new product. And it was pretty much just months of innovation, months of providing them useful insights to create value. Not just insights, you know, because insights don't mean nothing unless you do something with it.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Right, and then once of, even though we said decision-making doesn't mean anything unless the decision results in value. So we always attach, I forget in my CXE English, we always attach a word to that, something with value, something with generating something from it, when we say decision-making or insights or data analytics. And we did that, and they just said, we need to invest. We need to do this. Their focus was obviously on marketing and understanding their consumers of news and better presenting news to person. That's a big part of it. So educational news content was a big thing. A lot of other projects and stuff. So they're able to see what we could do with this small team of persons, how efficient we were. And the big part was we never tried to sell them anything they didn't need. We focused on them wholeheartedly in every situation to the point where we tell them, no, you don't need to do this. It's a waste of money. But we're willing to pay. We said, that's good, but you're going to waste the money. We're not doing it. Go somewhere else. And we have actually recommended competitors with respect to market research to them. So we've recommended like Market Research Services Limited. We've recommended Blue Dot for projects as well because we said, well, if you're going to do it with somebody else. We don't want to do it because we don't think you need to, but maybe it's just us. So let's be objective. Go to our competitor, let them do it, bring back the results, and then we will compare our approach with theirs, right? So at least this way you get a different perspective and you get a verification of what you need to do, because you don't want to make a decision based on one source or one resource,
mm-hmm.
which is why we apply multiple approaches when we're doing things, but we have no issues with any of our current clients working with anybody else, which I know may sound wrong from a business context, but the idea is if you're getting something better from somebody else, our goal is to really make you better. So we can't really complain with that. we need to improve what we bring into you, or we need to run basically business to shut down if we're not providing value, because we're not just trying to take money from people. We're trying to grow with you. That open approach, a very customer-centric approach, has worked extremely well. And I'm like, wow, I'm really proud to be a Jamaican right now, because you're going to a company and saying, spend money on other people, don't worry about us, and they're really willing to invest and give you the opportunity. Because when we launched, at that time, nobody was really ready or willing to spend money on these quote-unquote secondary services. Everybody was trying to gear up for the pandemic and understand, I need reserves in place. I need to make sure that I can manage the wave. This thing may last 3 to 5 years. I don't want to spend money on these scientific stuff, these analytical stuff. And what actually came out of it was people like, oh, wow, we need to spend on these things. This shit is fundamental, because if we don't understand our clients, if we don't understand the market, we're going to sink anywhere. Competitors are going to take advantage of this. So it's been a very, very great journey, and I'm happy to see where we are in the next 200 years.
Okay. Talk about succession planning and longevity of the company, making sure that it goes beyond even you, right?
Yeah.
You care to share how much the value of that investment?
I'd rather not say.
Mm-hmm. But you can give us a little something.
Yeah, 15% is what they took so far.
Okay.
After that is my work in corporate. You have a good understanding, obviously, of how you should frame these types of arrangements and deals.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're willing to, you know, take us in a certain direction, we have no issues taking more money from them, obviously.
Okay. All right. So I want to talk with you, Adrian, about the road to your road to IPO. But before we get into that, because when you see that investment, then you know there's something coming in. So you know, let's take a break here. I'm going to read a review and come right back to you. And this review comes from, well, it just has a pin, it's a username. So it's BB1888, and it's out of Australia. When I hear that kind of sound, that sounds like BlackBerry. Oh, my gosh. Rip to BlackBerry. All right. So it says, great podcast. Very niche. John Lee Dumas is involved in your podcast. Very cool. Excellent niche podcast. Well done. Very informative and easy to listen to. Thank you so much. Pin BB1888 out of Australia. I think your username probably changed by now, because again, ripped to BlackBerry. All right, so let's come back to this very insightful and information rich discussion, a conversation I've been having with Adrian Dunkley, who is the founder of Starpool AI. Very insightful. And, you know, obviously we hope that, or we know that our audience will be using something from this. So it's not just the insight that this conversation will give, but they will turn it into actual value by using something from it. So let's talk about your road to IPO. What does that journey look like for you, and where on the journey are you?
So being in a preparation stage, this is like the start of our information roadshow, in a sense. I have to admit, I was quite hesitant in regards to IPOs. And there's a whole idea of an IPO is you're trying to raise funds to do something. So maybe it's my hubris or what. I say, no, man, let's build up the company ourselves. Let's bring in as much revenue as possible and then do that to expand, right? But with these types of things, you have to be open to different points of view. So we spoke to our investors, we spoke to other persons, and we looked at our roadmap and what we're trying to do. And we realized the demand for the services were just too high, and we're not really able to keep up with that. So the only way to manage the demand is to increase our operational supply. And the quickest way to do that is IPO. But I take IPOs extremely seriously, because it is you taking on thousands and thousands of new stakeholders in the company. All of them are vested. All of them need to be informed and have an understanding of what's going on with the company. They need to have a say in how the company runs and those types of things. So with discussions with those investors, we said, okay, you know what? This is something that we should do. Because based on the data, based on the trajectory, and then based on still the qualitative understanding of what we're doing and the impact that we're having, this makes the most sense to get us there the quickest. So we're looking at other alternatives, but this one became the primary. In terms of what we're trying to, we're aiming for around next year to 2024 to do it. But we've already started expansion. That's very important. But so that when we get that money through the IPO, we're able to utilize that and monetize that within days of getting it. That's very important because it doesn't make sense. You raise, you sit on it, and you don't know what to do for months. That's doing a disservice to the person that have invested. That's doing a disservice to your current investors, right? Money sitting down is money wasted, right? So the idea is to plan before the point of actually getting that money in. So it's all about being prescriptive and having that foresight in place. Because a big mandate for us, as you read, being the global hub of innovation for data analytics, data science, AI, is about being able to service regular Jamaicans, being able to help the economy, being able to help crime, being able to improve job creation, all of these things, which I take extremely seriously. And it's something that it's not just through the company that we're doing it. I'm on the Global Services Skills Council, making sure that we can put individual youth in a position where they can actually support themselves financially. I mentor and manage a lot of startups that are focused on the same thing as well as innovation in Jamaica. We've supported external startups as well in the U.S. That's why we actually decided to expand out. We saw the demand there in the U.S. for our services, even though we're just a little Jamaican company. But it was very important that we said, okay, if we're going to do this IPO, it can't be about taking Jamaicans' money. It has to be about giving Jamaicans a return on their money, not just what they invested in the company, but also seeing it. When you walk outside, you're supposed to have better air quality. That's our goal. When there shouldn't be any pollution. When we look at the number of turtles and stuff, because turtles are really big for ecosystems. We have a bag of turtles. We should see those numbers in crime going down. We should see the numbers in reduction in domestic abuse and reduction in traffic accidents. There should be more economy, meaning microeconomy is just popping up, more technology on a regular basis to better the lives of Jamaicans. That's what we're trying to do.
So you're saying that we're looking for this to come into fruition about 2023-24, right?
Yeah.
How can persons, if they're interested, become part of that reserve pool and be in from the very get-go? Do you still have space for investors pre-IPO?
We do. We are actually in communication with a few of them now. I said communication. Well, let's say negotiations with a few of them. Mm-hmm. Large investors that you would have known, that you've heard of, you may have seen in the news recently. Mm-hmm. But beside that, one thing that we're working on now is trying to get equity to regular persons. Mm-hmm. So we're discussing how that would work. That would not affect our current investor because we do training programs. We do internships for persons, and you don't need a degree. You don't need a high school diploma. We don't care. All we care about is your willingness, your creativity, and your ability. Well, www.startupinterns.com. You can look out for that. And it's on our website as well. If you want to sign up, it's open. Well, the idea there is what we're trying to do is we're looking at different approaches to investment. So we researched NFTs and the capabilities of that. We have an NFT project that we're launching that would actually give you, it's essentially a stock for the company through this NFT. And the baseline of it is actually developed using machine learning. So the idea is, think of like a traditional NFT. You buy an NFT, maybe it's a picture or something like that, and you own it and you try and buy it back. The one thing people don't really tell you about these things is the secondary market for NFTs is not that good. There's not a lot of activity. So you usually see the high ticket NFTs sell, but secondary market, nobody's trying to buy it from anybody. We're like, we don't want it. We want something more valuable and useful and long living, because we're trying to build wealth, long-term wealth, right? A legacy of wealth for individuals, right? So we said, okay, we developed an NFT that actually gives you access to our services in perpetuity. If you have access to NFT, you can use this to upskill yourself, upskill your company, and apply artificial intelligence research and scientific studies to your company. And then we monitor the benefit and the impact, and that actually goes into the value of the NFT. And then if you say you're done with our services, you don't think you need them anymore, you can sell NFT in the third-party market and get an additional bump and get back the money that you initially put in. That money goes directly into investing in our youth programs and our upskilling programs that we have currently in place. We call it Startup or Sprout. Sprout, you know, trying to make people grow stuff. So that, and we're doing that for a few reasons. So the first thing is, you know, NFT is all our own, but it's really about the benefit of the blockchain. I know we don't, may not have time to go into that, but can we use this technology to actually better the lives of people? Right? And the only way to test that hypothesis is you have to do it. It's not enough to talk about it and read a Harvard Business Review and a study on this. You have to actually go in there and test it. So we test everything before we give it to our clients, right? When it comes to NFTs, the exact same thing. Can you create long-term wealth for individuals and societies with NFT? You can. You just have to approach it in a certain way. There's governance concerns, regulatory concerns, legal concerns, as well as just the marketing and advertising that goes into to people wanting to buy into this thing. So we're looking at that as well, and we're going to launch very soon. Oh. So we're excited for that.
Impressive. Very impressive, Adrian. All right. So as we're about to wrap, give us your final thoughts that you'd like to share, you know, perhaps something I didn't touch on that is important for you to get out. So you can share that, as well as how might an investor or just anybody who wants to learn more about your business contact you.
Sure, sure. Let me start with a contact before I forget the rest of the question. you can contact us at www.starapple.ai, or you can send us an email at clients@starapple.ai. We are open to partnerships, investments, all of these things. But I think we touched on everything, but the main thing is we're trying to better the lives of Jamaicans and Caribbeans. That's why we're doing all of this. So that's the top of everything we do, as well as the base of everything we do. So it's not just we're building on that or we get into that. It is fundamental to the both sides of what we're trying to do. And a big part of that is actually you, Jamaica, the listeners, getting involved. We actually launched a subsidiary as well called Analytics Jamaica, another plug. That's specifically focused on data analytics for Jamaica, using Jamaican historical data, Jamaican problems, Jamaican qualitative data as well. We're on Instagram and all of the socials, and TikTok as well. And mm-hmm. And a big part of this is we're trying to make sure that at the forefront of everything we're doing, we're focusing on your problems. So this company, Analytics Jamaica, collects Jamaican problems, which may seem like a weird thing to do, but we have thousands upon thousands of documented issues. And these aren't even individuals. So we have multiples of that. But we have thousands and thousands of Jamaican problems documented in a database, as well as potential solutions that we're researching right now. Right? And the idea there is we need to understand the problem first, before you get to the solution, which is what we're focusing on as a company as a whole. When it comes to supporting us, just reach out. Let's have a conversation, recommendation. We love referrals. And if you know any nonprofits, any environmental entities who need support, who need data science, data analytics, business intelligence, or AI services, we're here to help. We have people on board, and we're trying to give them as much work as possible. So please email us, tell us, because we may not even know about these entities. We will support them with free projects as long as it supports Jamaica. We have no issues putting in the time for that. And then to support you as Jamaicans, apply to our training program. We train you. It's a free program as well. I don't know if I noted that. It's a free internship. It's over 1 month to a 3 month period. We don't need any requirements. We don't need any papers or anything like that. We just need their willingness. Mm-hmm. And to also note, the training is specific to you. If you're a runner and you're interested in improving your stride and your speeds, we'll do an analytics project for you so you can use that data on yourself to figure it out. If you're an artist and you want to get into NFTs and monetizing your artwork, come to us and we'll help you. If you're a manufacturer, if you're just a fisherman and you want, you know, understand better why the fish don't come certain days, like you know instinctively why and when you can sense it, if you want to put it on paper so you can pass it down to people or anything like that, actual model, a structure, a framework for that, reach out to us.
All right. Thank you so much. Very interesting journey that you've had so far. And I really like what you've been doing, you know, not just to make money, but to support Jamaicans and persons living in the Caribbean as well. So thank you so much, Adrian. Adrian Dunkley, Jamaica Technology and Digital Alliance President, as well as CEO of Starapple AI, VP of Data and Decision Sciences for Cornerstone Bank / Barita Investments. I appreciate the time that you spent with me today, Adrian. Thanks again.
Thanks, Annika. I appreciate that. Have a great day.
And you know that we've introduced a segment at the end of our program called Money Tip. And this is brought to you by Profit Jumpstarter. Max out your high interest savings account. With higher interest rates these days, it is important to max out your high interest savings and account and benefit from the higher interest rates on these accounts. Unlike traditional savings accounts, high yield savings account reward you with a higher interest rate and your money will grow even faster due to compound interest. A good use of or a good use for this account is for your emergency fund, travel fund, or any other short-term goal you may have. Now, knowledge is nothing without execution, so be sure to implement this money tip today. Thank you for tuning in to this episode with Adrian Dunkley, CEO of Starapple AI. And for me, what stood out in this conversation, there have been many points that really, you know, did it for me. But I really loved how Adrian was able to, well, his brand story for one, and how he was able to interweave everything, you know, the points that he wanted to share into the brand story. And even connecting that to the customer experience business tip that I had at the beginning. So I thought, you know, this is a great example of what a good interview, you know, a very good interview is like, you know, with the guest being able to just put all those dots together. And it makes the job of the host a lot easier. So I was happy for that. All right. So what's your standout moment? What was it for you? I'd love to hear your feedback. Send that to me at hennikawatkisporter@gmail.com or on social media at hennikawatkisporter. Remember to follow this podcast on your favorite podcast app or connect with me for all things podcasting at hennikawatkisporter.com. And here is what is, or according to the scriptures reading today, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. Proverbs 3:13. What good.